All right, we will talk to Matt Muscoda now, ESPN Radio there in Baton Rouge, Locked On LSU podcast, and he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. Matt, welcome in. First of all, thanks for taking time. I know it's been a busy time for you. Brother, we never questioned whether you had the most legit information, and I was just kind of going over the timeline for our listeners and Pat, because he was there as well. SEC Media Days, you said what Coach O had to do. But take our listeners through kind of the behind the scenes. And first we'll start with maybe the timing of all of this. Why now and making this announcement now?
I think to understand is that there's also precedent for making the announcement now with LSU's AD Scott Woodward. When he was at Washington, he had Ty Willingham there, who he inherited as a head coach. And in 2008, they made the announcement after the seventh game that Willingham would not return but would finish the season. So Scott, just as a principal, doesn't like to replace a coach midseason. When he was at A&M, he let Kevin Sumlin finish out that season before he fired him and hired Jimbo Fisher. So that's in part the reason. I think one other very obvious reason here, guys, there's just no obvious choice for an interim coach. When Les was fired, Ed had been a head coach. He'd been an interim coach. That guy isn't on LSU staff right now. So, you know, lacking an obvious interim choice, you know, keeping Ed Ogeron in place for the remainder of the season, doing it now also allows LSU full autonomy to go start pursuing candidates because there's no longer any cloak of secrecy or doubt or whether or not they're replacing coach. They're replacing coach. So you can begin the search publicly in earnest right now. So there's a lot of reasons why it makes sense to do it right now, as unconventional as it may seem on the outside. But, yeah, guys, I mean, Landrum, you're right. We're at Media Days, and every interview that I did, people ask me two questions. Who's going to be the quarterback, and is Ed Ogeron really on the hot seat? And every bit of information, you know, reputable information I got during the summer was Ed Ogeron needed 9-3 to feel safe. 8-4 was iffy, depending on how it looked. And if he went 7-5, he was fired. And it was pretty clear after they lost to UCLA in the opener that they weren't going to get to 9-3. So buyout, you're raising the money for the buyout, beginning to put in earnest, put a list together. That all started after the UCLA game and led to what was an inevitability on Sunday.
In regards to the buyout, were you surprised that they're paying the full amount in regards to perhaps maybe making this a legal challenge and say we're going to fire you with cause and negotiate a smaller amount like they did Les Miles?
So, guys, I've seen Ed Ogeron's contract. The termination for cause section of his contract read like an encyclopedia. They could have fired him for cause if his shirt was untucked. I mean, I'm obviously being facetious, but LSU absolutely had a case to fire Ed Ogeron for cause. But I think in paying him his buyout, what you did was you're buying cooperation. Because if you fire Ed Ogeron for cause, you better be sure that he is going to fight you for his money. And if Ed Ogeron fights for his money, that means a legal case. And what that means is depositions, which means coaches and administrators testifying under oath, which means a discovery process, which means do you really want NCAA investigation, Title IX investigation, all of this potential nefarious activity for which you're firing him for cause being, you know, coming to light in a very public legal setting? I don't think so. I think LSU was quite content to say, here's your money, play nice for the next 2 months, and then go on your merry way. And Ed Ogeron was wise to accept that deal.
Taking you through the inner workings, the timeline of Coach O being fired there at LSU with Matt Muscoda, ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge, also the host of the Locked On LSU podcast. He's joining us here on Three Man Front on the Bud Light Hotline. Matt, will you take us through the timeline? Because I think a lot of our listeners don't know, and I'm not specifically talking about this year. I'm talking post-national championship, 2019. If you can lay it out, all of the different things that happened that maybe hadn't been reported to help them fully understand the frustration that was with the people close to the program and obviously with the administration and athletic director Scott Woodward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Landrum, after LSU won the national championship in January of 2020, you know, a month later, Ed Ogeron divorced his wife, Kelly, of 23 years. And I'm not here to talk about any person's personal life, but that is something that's relevant to what transpired since. And from there, he made so many wrong decisions professionally and personally that manifest on the field. And when you continue to build this mountain of evidence against yourself, you need the result on the field to be strong enough to hold up the weight of all of that. And it just wasn't. I mean, we can talk about the public embarrassment of taking photographs in bed with women, you know, on a Sunday when many think he would be at football ops looking at film. He's at the pool, you know, with a woman in a bikini at a casino in Baton Rouge. So many other videos like that and pictures have surfaced over the last year and a half. And again, I'm not judging what a man does in his private life at all. The reality is when you're the head coach at LSU, you're the highest paid state employee, and you are the face not only of LSU football, but of the university. And you are going to be expected to carry yourself and abide by a certain standard. And he did not do that. Then on top of that, guys, last summer with the George Floyd protests around our country, you know, Ed Ogeron went on Fox News and said, "We love President Trump. We think he's doing a great job." And I'm not here to talk about politics either. I don't care about anybody's politics. But the reality is you have a locker room, which more than half of your locker room is made up of young black males who did not appreciate that. And it's now been, the story has been written now. I think Ross Dellinger wrote it at SI, where, you know, some players went to discuss that with Ed Ogeron and wanted to do a march through campus and not practice that given day. And Ed Ogeron essentially rebuked them. And at that point, he lost his locker room. And I don't know how you ever get it back after that. He tried. They turned over half their staff. They got younger. They got more diverse on staff, which was a necessity. But I think in the minds of some of those players, he never got it back, and it showed the field. There's the coaching, the hiring missteps, the bringing in Bo Pelini, acknowledging you didn't even interview him. You hired Scott Linehan. Both those guys were gone after 1 year. You know, you're coaching for your job this year, and you hire two coordinators that had never done the job before. I mean, guys, all of those decisions, I mean, every single one of them just blew up in his face. And when you keep doing all of these things, and then you know, we started to hear these stories about how he sort of reverted to Ole Miss Ed in the locker room, throwing chairs against the wall, berating staffers. I mean, all of those things, they can stand for a time if you're winning. But when you're sub 500 against the Power Five since the national championship, all of that just continues to build the case against you. There was no decision to be made. I mean, Scott Woodward, this was a must that had to happen before this program further deteriorated under Ed Ogeron.
Man, in regards to who's next, I'm hearing plenty of names, and you've got your finger on the pulse of things. Yeah. So I just want to run across two or three different names, and you don't have to go into a long diatribe in regards to their biography or if they'd be a good fit or not, but just whether, yes, it's a potential fit, no, it's a pipe dream, but I hear James Franklin's name. Be a good fit or not?
Very realistic possibility. I saw Vegas odds had him at like plus 950. Vegas isn't wrong often. They're wrong on that one. James Franklin, Mel Tucker, two minority candidates, that there is a very strong possibility that one of those men get this job.
Luke Fickell.
He is a name that I heard early in this process from someone I consider very reputable. I know at least one very powerful LSU booster has Luke Fickell at the top of his list, but my understanding is Luke Fickell would prefer to hold out for a job in the Midwest. And also because Cincinnati is going into the Big 12, he sees himself already as a Power 5 coach. So that would be – there's interest from LSU standpoint. I think that's a tough pull.
In regards to Jimbo Fisher, we heard him yesterday say, nope, he's happy, he's got ranches, he loves Texas A&M. What about Scott Woodward? Does he make a phone call just to at least ask his old friend if he'd be interested?
Nope. There is no interest on LSU's part. And it's not because Scott and Jimbo are great friends. Scott hired Jimbo at A&M, obviously. And Scott Woodward, one of his best friends, is Jimmy Sexton, who's Jimbo's agent. But I'm going to tell you guys, when LSU did that two-step with Jimbo back in 2015, the way that that negotiation transpired with Jimmy Sexton left such a bitter, foul taste in the mouths of so many admins and boosters at LSU that it was expressed to me with no uncertainty at all that LSU had better not even pick up the phone to make an inquiry into bringing Jimbo Fisher to Baton Rouge because of how Jimmy Sexton handled the negotiation in 2015. So I would say categorically, no, Jimbo Fisher will not even be considered for this job.
Dabo Swinney.
It fits the profile of what Scott Woodward does. He's a big game hunter. When Scott was at Washington, he went and got Steve Sarkisian, who then was hired away by SC. When SC tried to hire Chris Peterson and couldn't, Woodward got him away from Boise. Of course, Woodward hired Jimbo. He just hired Kim Mulkey at LSU. That's the type of hire that fits Scott Woodward's profile. I don't know if that's realistic. I don't know if you can pull Dabo away, but it's the kind of guy that Woodward probably picks up the phone and makes him say no.
Matt, fair or not fair? People that throw out Lane Kiffin, it's been reported Lane Kiffin has, through back channels, and those back channels apparently they get out somehow, some way, that he had interest, wanted to let LSU know that he was interested. Why would LSU hesitate on hiring Lane Kiffin?
Lane ain't half-stepping, man. That is the worst-kept secret around here. Through every intermediary he is making it known that he wants this job. And I will tell you guys, after LSU lost to UCLA, the first two names I heard from people at LSU were Lane Kiffin and Bill O'Brien. After LSU lost to Auburn, I was told Luke Fickell, James Franklin, and more recently Mel Tucker. Those are the five names I've gotten from people at LSU. The only hesitation on Kiffin that I'll tell you is, considering LSU is still in the midst of a Title IX investigation, like, this is going to be a squeaky clean hire. And I think there's some hesitancy about Lane's personal life and how that would play here potentially. You can't make a hire and run into a situation like Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss. It can't happen. So whoever LSU hires is going to be someone with a pristine record in their personal life. And that would be the one hesitation with Lane.
And it should be noted that LSU's new president, William Tate, who is a black man, would like to, when you throw out Mel Tucker, when you throw out also James Franklin, maybe making this a legacy hire, if you're putting all the other criteria together, if you can make it work and you don't get into a bidding war that you can't win with, say, a Penn State or maybe even a USC, it seems like that might be the home run hire to make everyone happy.
I don't know that Mel Tucker would be a home run hire.
James Franklin, I'm sorry.
It's Franklin. Franklin, I think, would be if you can win that bidding war. But that is something that I've said on a lot of platforms over the last week or so, Landrum, it's a factor that we weren't thinking that anyone at LSU was going to have to consider, because this was, look, Scott Woodward's a Baton Rouge guy who went to LSU and he came back here for this reason, to be close to his family and to be the guy who makes all of these legacy hires, including hiring a football coach at LSU. And LSU's new president has only been in that job since May, and he is undeniably inserting himself into all of these conversations. And he has a lot of people tugging at his ear, and I think it would be wonderful for the program and the university if they did make their first minority hire as a head football coach. That just can't be the sole criteria. It just can't be. If it works out that's the way and the path LSU goes, wonderful. I think what's more important with respect to diversity and inclusion is race shouldn't exclude any candidate. It doesn't mean you hire based on race, but it can't exclude any candidate. And I hope that's the path that LSU follows here. Now, if LSU lands James Franklin, I mean, I would drive to the airport to pick him up. I mean, I think that would be an absolute amazing hire. I mean, he's got a condo at 30A. He loves the Gulf Coast. He'd be certainly close from Baton Rouge. He kind of won 9 games at Vanderbilt, guys. I mean, come on. Like, yeah. We're talking about? I mean, he managed to win at Vanderbilt. Like,
that's right.
We've all met him. I mean, he would be perfect for this job. Can they get him away from Penn State? Could they outbid USC? We'll see in time. But I think that would be a guy who, for me, he and Lane Kiffin would be at the top of my list.
In regards to the timetable, and you just kind of briefly mentioned that, you've got USC looking for a head coach. It's been kind of quiet on the West Coast in regards to what they're doing behind the scenes. But are we talking about week after the SEC championship game? What kind of time frame do you anticipate LSU trying to make a move?
LSU's going to play Texas A&M the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I would think within 3 to 5 days of that game finishing, they'll introduce a new coach.
Okay.
Pat, the time frame has been so sped up now because of the December signing period. You can't wait.
No, you can't.
You can't. I mean, and it's another reason why you make this move now, because it gives you the opportunity to go gauge interest, work through financials terms, what it's going to cause. So when the season ends, man, you have that interview, and boom, you make your decision. You run someone to the podium, and you get them recruiting. I mean, it's just it can't be something that drags. And Scott Woodward doesn't do big public searches either. This is not going to be Joe Oliva doing radio interviews saying, "I am the search," and other nonsense. Like, this is a skilled, tactful, smart administrator who's leading this thing. And it will be a much less public process, I assure you.
Who is the next SEC coach to be fired? Is it Dan Mullen?
Ooh. Okay.
We nominated Dan Mullen and Mike Leach, but
half the league is either first or second year coaches. So, and Saban's going nowhere, obviously. I guess it would have to be Dan Mullen, right? But you know what's so odd about that? It's like he had them in the SEC championship game last year. I know the final record didn't look great because they lost the SEC championship game, lost the bowl game. But
right.
I mean, well, he's the only one that gave Bama a game last year.
I know, but McElwain got him there twice.
I know.
Well, see, now it's perfect because Leach can go back to Pullman. Yeah, I mean, it's wide open for
exactly
him to go back.
Right.
Oh, geez.
I mean, he said, "Hey, look, I made a mistake."
Wait, though, he didn't get the vaccine, did he?
Yeah, that's a problem too.
I don't know, guys. I just think Mississippi State is so they're so content to be mediocre that they're not in a hurry to fire any coach. Yeah. So I don't think Leach is going anywhere after year two.
Okay. All right. Hey, Matt. Always great stuff. Thank you so much. We always appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Be well.
All right. Take care. Matt Moscona, @MattMoscona on Twitter.